everybody. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And tonight's show is brought to you by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. This is where you want to be, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Great articles, all kinds of great content, all the time at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That's the place to be. That's what makes this radio show go. If you're expecting Devin Moore tonight, he will not be on the show. He just canceled. I'm really sorry about that. I apologize to anybody who's listening for Devin Moore. However, we will do our best to reschedule and get him back on the air as soon as we possibly can. But without further ado, let's get started with the show, wrestling fans.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampinez.
All right, we're back. PWP Radio, here it is. Episode number, what do we got, 23 now? Time is just flying by. We've come a hell of a long way. We've had some great guests. We've had a lot of great content. There's a lot going on in the wrestling business. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. Each and every week live here on Blog Talk Radio. Or you could always check us out on iTunes. Don't forget, iTunes is a great place to be. You can always go there, get all great content on iTunes. Just do it anytime you want. I personally listen to these shows over and over again while I'm at the gym, clanging and banging, doing my thing. I took a day off today. I'll get back in there as soon as possible. Like I said earlier, we were supposed to have Devin Moore, independent superstar Devin Moore, on the line tonight. However, he, you know, canceled. I'll tell you guys straight up truth. I talked to him about an hour before we were supposed to go on the air. And he was like, yeah, cool, sounds great. And then about 10 minutes later, he texts me and he goes, I'm not going to be on. I have to go to work. I got called into work. So I guess shit happens. If he's telling the truth, shit happens. But Devin Moore will still be at Pro Wrestling Syndicate this coming Saturday in a 4-on-4 contest, taking on the one and only Mr. Belding. Yes, that's right. Mr. Belding, there's only one. Mr. Belding, it'll be a 4-on-4 contest, where Devin Moore teams up with his Reality Check teammates, take on Mr. Belding, the Big O, and the Fat Pack. It should be a great show, but, you know, we'll see what happens. How are we doing tonight? I guess we got John on the line. John, how are you doing tonight, man?
What's up?
Nothing, man. It's too bad. We were supposed to have Devin Moore on the line with us tonight. Didn't seem to work out. I'm also having a little bit of an issue with Skype, so if I cut out at any given moment, you guys just pick up the slack. I don't think I will, though. I think all should be good. And I'd also like to introduce my official co-host, as always, Mr. TLD.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion. Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay.
It's phenomenal what he does. What's up, TLD?
That's fine, but again, we have to do the dramatic fade. I told you in my contract that we have to go a dramatic fade down. But it's okay.
Yeah.
You're getting it. It's only taking you 50 episodes, but I think eventually you'll get it.
We're only episode number 23, believe it or not, but I feel like we've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to what we do here in the radio show. And the great thing about this Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network, and it's my favorite part of doing this, it's not a job. It's completely fun for me, and I've brought, you know, and you guys have helped out along the way, but we've brought so many wrestling fans together that may not have known each other, that may not have been, you know, have talked about wrestling at all in general in any way, shape, or form with each other, and we've done that. We've brought them together into a forum, and I love that. It's absolutely awesome. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is keeping this show going. We're at 1,200-plus likes on Facebook, which is definitely awesome. Go to Facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Get in on that. Follow us on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. And, hey, the sky is the limit. I'd like to bring in a caller. We've got the good old 516 area code, 516. We're on the air at PWP Radio. What's going on?
This is the already on the hiatus, but came back with a Bruno Sammartino article kind of guy, Matthew Holly. We'll return to PWP in March.
Matthew, what's going on, man? How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing all right. While I was on hiatus, I just had to write a column right now on Wrestling Nimmo about Bruno Sammartino to the Hall of Fame. I spoke about that on the PWP group page. It's just a sample of it, but the whole article can be found. I shall send you the link right away.
All right,
Matthew. It should be a good
week. Thanks, bud.
I'm looking forward to a March return. Believe me. I'll be back with better material in March.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, you're on a little bit of a hiatus. It's a mutual understanding. You get it, but it's no problem because we're going to bring you back.
Okay.
And, we'll start right where we left off, man. So thanks a lot for listening tonight. I really appreciate it.
Always. Glad to be a part of it.
You got it, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold. All right.
He's a very happy guy.
Yeah, that was Matthew. Matthew's a good guy, man.
He's a very happy guy.
He's a knowledgeable guy. You know, he's on a little bit of a hiatus from writing on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. There was a little bit of an issue. I don't want to really get into it because he's a good kid, a great wrestling fan, and we'll bring you his articles back to ProWrestling.com in March, the beginning of March. But, hey, guys, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
What a week.
And, what a big weekend it was. There was a lot of announcements, a lot of big things happened. So we're going to free flow tonight. We're just going to have some fun. That's basically it. That's what wrestling is all about.
And I have popcorn, too.
Yeah, get your popcorn ready. It's about having fun. So this is what we're going to do. We're gonna switch it up a little bit. And JCD, why don't you kick us off with the first topic you want to talk about tonight?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we really are going a little crazy.
We're going off the grid a little bit.
I like that. I guess we can go with the obvious big news of the week, month, and I guess year. Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah,
you know,
Bruno Sammartino.
You know, it's a long time coming. You know, I mean, I'm 36. I didn't see a lot of Bruno, but I remember seeing a lot of him towards the tail end when he was working with his son and working some of those matches, like with Savage. He would team up with Tito Santana here and there. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing that I never thought this would happen. It's the one thing, you know, I said it today on my video. I say what you will about Triple H, the performer in the ring. Say what you will about Triple H, the backstage politician, but Triple H, the business guy, he gets it. This is something Vince would have never been able to pull off. And Hunter put his mind to it. And, you know, some of the story is the doctor, Dr. Moore, I think, the guy who helped Jerry Lawler, he was involved in it a little because he did some surgery for Bruno. You know, he was involved in it. And supposedly, it's not just going to end at the Hall of Fame. We may get, I've heard, a television appearance, maybe even finally a nice DVD retrospective on his career. And I think it's awesome. This is just, he's going to be bumped to the headliner of the Hall of Fame. He bumps Foley, which is totally understandable. It's awesome. And, you know, where they go with him from here is going to be really interesting.
I would love to see Bruno get back inside that WWE ring and just cut a promo, because he can still cut a promo. He can still get out there and speak his mind and, you know, say what's on it. And if he's down to do business, I bet you him and CM Punk could probably give us a pretty memorable moment inside the wrestling ring. Will, what are your thoughts on Bruno Sammartino finally getting his rightful place in the WWE Hall of Fame?
You know, a lot of people always say the WWE Hall of Fame is not a true Hall of Fame because it's missing a lot of the key players in there. And now, you know, Bob Backlund, I would say, was a very big key player. And now they're going back even farther back to Bruno Sammartino. And I think that WWE needs to focus on people saying it's all about politics. And you're right, John, about how Triple H understands that there are people that don't see this Hall of Fame as a legit Hall of Fame. If WWE wants to do that, they got to put the big-time players in this Hall of Fame. And Bruno Sammartino is probably the first biggest player in pro wrestling, and that's the man that sold out Madison Square Garden for years and made that garden, you know, one of the staples of stadiums today, you know, and he's a staple of that, you know, and now he's going to be inducted in the same stadium where he used to sell out every single week. You know, it's a big moment. I think that was a great, great catch. And I think I don't care if Triple H is behind it or Vince McMahon's behind it, whoever was behind it, you know, everyone agreed that Bruno got in. I think Bruno also on his part, I'm glad, you know, a lot of people say, you know, is it WWE's fault or is it Bruno Sammartino? And a lot of blame is on WWE, but Bruno had a lot to do with it too. He was the one kind of neglecting it. So you can't give WWE all the blame. You know, Bruno, I think, finally sees the understanding of, you know, his life and his career. And now, the moment he was announced, I went on WWE's YouTube, and I was watching clips and clips of Bruno stuff, you know, because I don't, honestly, I never watched the guy, you know, and it's pretty amazing to see what's on there, and it's just awesome. I think it's a great moment, and the fact that I'm going to the Hall of Fame, I'm going to see Bruno, I'm going to see Mick Foley and Bob Backlund and Trish Stratus, this is like heaven for pro wrestlers right now.
Yeah, you know what? This is definitely
biggest Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's going to go down, in my opinion. I don't even think it matters who they add at this point. I think it's going to be bigger than WrestleMania 21, just based on the fact that you got Bruno and Mick Foley, Trish Stratus, Bob Backlund. I mean, you know, WrestleMania 21 had a lot of star power. Hulk Hogan and Roddy.
That's a great class.
It was a great class.
That was
absolutely
an awesome class. This is the first one that's going to top that.
Yeah, but they really, I feel like they blew their load big time on WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 21. Those two classes were just completely stacked full of guys that could have kind of been, I want to say, rationed out throughout the years on those classes that weren't as, you know, popular and famous with the people. But on Bruno Sammartino front, you know, I was listening to sports radio today. I listened to 66 The Fan in New York, and they brought this up, and they had a little talk about it. And some guy called in and he's like, well, how many times did the Grateful Dead sell at Madison Square Garden? Somebody did some research, find out 57 times. Yeah, it's nothing to Bruno Sammartino, 150 plus times sell out or whatever it was. Bruno is a legend in the wrestling business. There's no question about it that this is the biggest induction ever of all time, without question. I'm pumped for it, and I think you should be pumped for it. I think everybody should be excited to see this. And if you can get your ass there, if you can get your ass to the Garden, I would say get there and witness this moment live. I cannot wait to be there. I think it's going to definitely be extraordinary.
Let me ask you, who do you guys think does the induction?
You know, I would love it if, you know, hell freezes over again and maybe we get superstar Billy Graham up there to do the induction, because that guy is so outspoken. He can cut a promo. You never know what he's going to go up there and say. And being there live, you will get the real deal. You're not going to get, like, a DVD that's edited or whatever they show on USA. You're going to get the real deal. And if they can get superstar Billy Graham to just go up there one more time to induct Bruno, the guy he beat for the belt, I think that would be awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I don't know. And I'm not even going to go by his comments recently. I don't know if health-wise Graham's going to be able to travel.
Superstar Billy Graham is scheduled to appear at a Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Not anymore.
That week.
He is.
Yeah.
Okay, no. I know he's in Phoenix, and I know he's been in and out of, like, that Mayo Clinic, and I know they were cutting down on some of his appearances, but he's at PWS that weekend.
Yeah, he's going to be at PWS. I mean, Terry Funk's already been pulled by WWE.
Right,
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if superstar Billy Graham gets pulled as well.
That's
because it would suck for PWS, but they'll fill it with somebody awesome. If they really want to have a presenter that is just out of this world, even make that moment that bigger, I think superstar Billy Graham's the way to go. We got a caller.
What about the
Hold on. My man Toph is on the line. What's going on, brother?
Oh, what's up, guys? I've been just listening. What's going on?
What's up, bro?
What's
you just
up, want dude?
To listen? You got anything to say about Bruno Sammartino getting inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with his work. It was before my time, but I know who he is. I've heard about him. Steve Austin's a big fan of his, and so is Triple H, so, you know, happy to hear he's got inducted, but I'm not familiar with his work. But I'll take your guys' word for it. I mean, he's got to be as good as they say he is, right?
Well, WWE.com, you know, YouTube page, they have a lot of video of him as soon as that announcement was made. So if you ever want to see some of his work, like I did, I think that'd be the greatest place to go look.
Yeah, well, definitely check that out when I get time.
All right, Toph, you want me to put you back on hold or you want to stay on tonight?
I can talk. Just what are you going to talk about?
Right,
I just called in to say hi.
All right, cool, man. We're free-flowing tonight. I got another caller. Hold on 1 second. Got another caller on the line. We're going to go 210 area code. 210, you're on the air. PWP Radio, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, who do we got? What's your name? Where are you from?
You got Burl Tomez from Poteet, Texas.
Hey, what's going on, man? What do you got to say tonight?
I'm doing fine. I wasn't expecting to get on the show. I was just trying to listen to the conversation. But since I'm on, I might as well talk, right?
Yeah, definitely. You got anything to add to our conversation about Bruno Sammartino getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
Oh, without a doubt, that's, like, huge. That's probably, like, without a doubt, that's, like, going to be the hugest thing in wrestling history this year. I'm going to make a bold statement and say that right now.
Yeah.
The class is just stand out, as y'all were saying. Superb class. Go on, sir, what you were saying.
Especially since it's in Madison Square Garden, that's going to make the moment even bigger, right?
Mm-hmm, most definitely. Where Bruno made his name, of course.
No question about it. Hey, man, thanks for calling in. Stay on hold, man, and listen in all night long. The problem with this is I can never tell. It's just the numbers pop up, and I can't tell if you want to get on the air or not. So stay on hold, listen to the show, you know?
No problem at all, sir.
Thanks, man. All right, we've got callers here all night long. This is great. Bruno in the Hall of Fame, definitely awesome news, big news. For once, I'm going to say thank you, Triple H, for making this happen. Because I'm sure Bruno
hey,
probably
what'd you
still
say?
Thinks.
Say that again.
Thank you, Triple H, for making this happen.
Okay.
Because there's no doubt that Bruno Sammartino still thinks Vince McMahon is a big piece of shit. No doubt in my mind. That's absolutely, I'm positive about that. But all right, let's move on a little bit. Bruno in the Hall of Fame. TLD, pick our next topic. What do you got?
Well, I think we're gonna go we'll go from the WWE side to the TNA side. A little bit, and that now that starting in March in Chicago, they are going to go on the road outside of the Impact Zone. Now they're going to be doing live shows in arenas. I think that's another very big step for TNA, especially a company that started in a little place in Nashville and now is going to be on the road. Every show is going to be live. I think that's a tremendous, tremendous feat for them. That they're getting away from the Orlando crowd. And now it's going to, just like the show on Thursday where it felt different because it was in a different atmosphere and the crowd was hot, you know, now you're going to see that every week. And I think that's going to make TNA even more credible.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think every show is going to be live. John,
well,
no, it's not.
They're doing – I don't know how they're going to do this, especially on the East Coast. They're going to do the live show 8 to 10, and then they're going to take the following show – right after. So they're probably looking – so they're going to go – you would think that would send them go until midnight. So I don't know. Unless they just tape matches and then they'll fill in, you know, the backstage stuff and the commercial break. So maybe, you know, that taping still ends around 11, 11:15. But, yeah, they're going to do one live and then tape the following week.
That's still – it still gets them out of the Impact Zone. I do not care.
Oh, great.
I don't care if they take 4 weeks. As long as they're out of the Impact Zone, I could care less. You know, that was the biggest gripe for years. And then they're going to be going live in Chicago for at least the first one. You know, I think that's going to be a great start. And I don't care if they're taped or not. I didn't look at the spoilers, you know, this week on Impact Wrestling. You know, for people who
want to look at spoilers. You know what the best part about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
The best part about it is they're going to generate revenue now for ticket sales on their TV tapings, because the Impact Zone, it's all included in your pass to Universal Studios. So you know what? You just like you just said, it doesn't matter if they tape 4 weeks. The bottom line is they're going to generate, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not good with the quick math, but even if they generate, let's say, $200,000 in ticket revenue, you know, that number may be a little off. But you get the gist
of what I'm saying. Way off. Way off.
All right, but you get, you get the gist of what I'm saying. Even if it's $50,000, it's $50,000, you know, twice a month. That's $100,000 a month. That's you know, that's $1.2 million extra a year just from ticket revenue that you weren't getting in Orlando. I mean, I'm probably off with the numbers, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. It's going to bring in revenue to them, you know, and that is nothing but a positive. Plus, it's going to generate merchandise sales, because I know we've said this. If you and me and Will are going to this to Impact every week, we've bought the shirts we're going to buy. We're not going to buy shirts all the time. We're not going to buy hats or programs. You know what I'm saying? So now you've got people, hey, I've never been to an Impact event. I want an AJ Styles T-shirt. Now I'm going to buy it. It's nothing but positive cash flow.
I've been to TNA house shows before. I went to one in Rahway at the Rexplex. And let me just tell you what. They try to do whatever they possibly can to sell merchandise. But I really can't see them doing those kind of gimmicks in these arenas. However,
you won't have to.
No, well, you make a great point. I mean, will they sell out a place like the Sears Center? I doubt it. I don't think they're going to sell that joint out at all. I think they'll probably have to tape off a lot of the arena for sure, unless you really build up the show ahead of time. They really need to do a proper job building up these tapings,
like,
you know,
the 1,000 Raw. Like, they have to build this next show up like that. They have to get that high.
They have to literally, you're right, they have to go on Impact throughout the next couple weeks and start booking stuff for that show. It's really the only way it'll work to get people to get into that arena. I know Chicago's a wrestling city. There's no question about that. The crowd is going to be hot. The crowd is going to be amped up to see Hulk Hogan, Jeff Hardy, you know, a lot of the guys who they haven't seen in a long time live. But, hey, how about this? If you're going to do this, if you're going to go on the road, let's go all out. They need to hit New York City and take it right into the Hammerstein Ballroom, right into the heart of New York City.
Yes.
Take it in there. Bring Hogan. You will sell that place out. If Ring of Honor can sell that place out with Kevin Steen and Davey Richards and those guys, bring Hogan there and watch what happens, especially if you do some kind of autograph signing or something along those, because that's the one thing that TNA is great at. TNA is very fan-friendly. They will sign your autographs. They will do a lot of different things before the show to get the fans involved with the wrestlers.
I'll give you one better. Fred the Beacon Theater.
Yeah, there you go.
That's big enough.
Vince does not have an exclusive right to that theater. When it was the Paramount Theater and when it was like the Felt Forum, Vince has an exclusive deal with MSG. He does not have an exclusive deal with that little arena. That's how WCW snuck in there. If I'm TNA and you want to really go to New York City, the Hammerstein Bowl would be great. But go to the Paramount.
That would stick it right there. That'd be a good idea. I'm going to bring Toph back because he's the biggest TNA fan I know, and I'm sure he's got something to say about this. Toph, what are your thoughts on TNA going on the road?
Jay, man, you're killing me. So, like, while you guys are talking, right, I'm just typing my chores and stuff. And not only did you say, thank you, Triple H, but you put over TNA, like, in 5 minutes. It's like you did a Russo gimmick. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm in a positive mood tonight. But I'm just being real. I'm keeping it real, you know. I agree with the idea of going out on the road. It's the next step to try to grow the brand. That's been the major problem with TNA Wrestling. They can't seem to market this brand properly outside of Orlando. So if they can do this across the country, it's going to help the product.
Yes, this is a good move. Been waiting for it for a long time. I think 11 years is long enough. They definitely need to get out the Impact Zone. It's a little risky to start it around WrestleMania season, but, you know, that's how it is in business. Sometimes if it's not worth the risk, it's not worth the ultimate payoff. But like you guys said, if they build it really well, like really, really well, I'm talking like how WCW used to build Clash of the Champions pay-per-view feel, if they build it really well, I'm sure it can be a very good success. Chicago is a wrestling city, so they're going to be hype, especially for guys like, you know, Kurt Angle You know, Jeff Hardy, Sting, especially Hogan. They love Hogan over there. But, yeah, I'm very happy for TNA, and hopefully this can lead to them getting a second show. I will, because we talked about this yesterday. I would love for them to have a second show, particularly on Saturdays. An hour, if it was up to me, it would just be an hour show just dedicated to wrestling, kind of like how WCW Saturday Night was. Just an hour show of just the undercard, the guys you never see just wrestling. You know, your Gunners, your Kid Cashes, your Zima Ions, you know. Just a show dedicated to the superstars of TNA, if you will, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and it would be a great way to kind of put the focus a little bit on that TV championship, on that X Division championship that don't seem to get any play, really. Like, is there still a TV champion in TNA? I don't even know.
It's Devon.
Devon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, okay, Devon.
Ever since the Aces and Aces took hostages.
The key to this whole thing, just like with anything TNA has done, is they can't get nervous and pull the plug on it too quick. Monday nights did Monday nights last even 3 months? No. Did live, you know, up until this summer, they were live. They pulled the plug on that right away. They've got to learn that you need to crawl before you can walk. And if this doesn't jump out of the gate, they can't panic and say, forget it, we're going back to Orlando by May 1st. That's the key to this. And that's the only thing that worries me about this, because they've never shown the willingness to wait stuff out.
Well, the one thing right now I like about them is that the Aces and Eights storyline's been, been on a good path right now. I think that's still they're starting to get a little too big. But
yeah.
I don't think that they have a mixture of mask guys and guys you know, and that's what I like about it, is that it's just there's a good mixture of people right now in it. You know, they just had the two younger guys betray Kurt Angle and go into the group, you know, now, which is still good because it's better than what they were doing now. So that's why I think it was, you know, better for them to be in this group. And there's still more storyline to go, and that's what I like about it. They have plenty of time to build up their three big pay-per-views, and all the money they're generating in the, you know, going Impact on the road, they don't have to spend in pay-per-view anymore, you know, which is something sure they weren't making good money on. So this is a good route, and now we have time to build the story of this Aces and Eights group and everybody else is being involved, and hopefully lead to a good Lockdown, which is their next big show in March.
Well, Lockdown is March 10th, so the March 14th show in Chicago will be the come out show of Lockdown.
That's a good idea.
Lockdown is March 10th. I'm not going to say anything. I have read what TNA has booked it, has taped in London. I'm not. All I'm saying is that, you know, you'll have two more shows in Orlando to set up Lockdown. And then you're going to – so as long as you build the two live shows as good as you've booked these London shows, then – and you have a solid Lockdown pay-per-view, that March 14th show – in Chicago should be extremely hot. The key to it is the two shows here before Lockdown. That's the key.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they run this and how it goes the course. But right now we're going to take a brief intermission. Next week, I just want to let everybody know once again that we're going to try this one more time. I mean, last time it didn't work out. Wasn't our fault. It was the fault of Blog Talk Radio, and they sent me all kinds of emails, and they were very apologetic about it, and I complained. Don't get me wrong, I complained. But next week we will have the prodigy Mike Bennett live on the air on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock next week. Mike Bennett will be on the air, and we're going to do this again. We're going to have lightning strike twice, take a little brief intermission. We're at the halfway point of the show, and here is Mike Bennett's theme music from Ring of Honor. Check it out, and we'll be right back on PWP Radio.
Suffer! Try to ignore hope and seems such a joy.
WP Radio. That was Mike Bennett's entrance song, his theme song. He'll be on the air with us, hopefully. Let's just hope it happens, because we haven't had much luck with our special guests lately. But, hey, Mike Bennett will be on the air with us, as far as I know, next week. So definitely tune in. We've got a lot to talk about with the Prodigy. Tons of stuff. You know, tons of questions. We've been prepping this for weeks and weeks and months and weeks and months. So Mike Bennett next week. Please remember to tune in. Just like each and every week right here at PWP Radio. So, yeah, we're talking some TNA. We're talking some TNA wrestling. But I kind of want to segue into a little bit of Monday Night Raw last night, because this was a very interesting episode in a lot of ways. You know, some people liked it. Some people took a big fat crap on it, didn't think it was really that good. But, hey, I was one of those guys that thought the first and second hour were kind of flat. You know, a lot of SmackDown guys, a lot of rematches. A lot of stuff that we've seen time and time and time again. But that last hour really had me intrigued. The Chris Jericho-CM Punk match is absolutely awesome. One of the best Raw matches I've seen in a long time, if not ever. So I'll kick it to TLD. What were your thoughts on Raw last night?
Yeah, I would agree that some of the hours of Raw were not very interesting. I thought the ending of Raw, the last hour, which usually is the deadest hour, was the strongest. You know, they had some issues with their WWE Active. Just like how, you know, it's funny how that happened, and then, you know, the same issue happened with the lights going out, the Super Bowl, which, by the way, I still believe the Shield was involved with. And then, you know, it was just a very interesting, it was an interesting Raw. I would say nothing really big came out of it. I'd say nothing really has changed except for a world title match that's now been booked. But other than that, you know, we had a great wrestling contest at the end. Which, if that match probably didn't take place, I think I would have said that show did not deliver in, you know, what it was supposed to do. But there were some people missing this week. Brock Lesnar was a surprise. He came out. I didn't think he actually would be there. I thought they would at least advertise him. You know, so I think Lesnar's going to be back on a permanent basis a little bit. You know, and the Miz stood up to him. My man Miz stood up to Brock Lesnar, tell him, he is the man. He made event at WrestleMania just like Brock Lesnar did, and he won just like Brock Lesnar did. The Miz is awesome. I mean, you can see how he stood up to Paul Heyman and those men, those evil men.
Yeah, but what happened to your buddy The Miz? You know, standing up to Brock Lesnar.
Okay, first off, he's a UFC fighter. The Miz is a reality TV show man, okay? So you can't compare that, okay? Brock Lesnar is a fighting machine. You know, if Brock Lesnar walked up to you, there is no way you would stand toe-to-toe and, like, stare that man down. There's no way. None of you people will do that. The Miz stood up to Brock Lesnar.
I just asked for a picture and his autograph, but that's about it. I also enjoyed last night the return of Mark Henry, which is very interesting.
Yes.
We haven't seen Mark Henry in a really, really, really long time. I thought it was kind of cool that he came out as Daniel Bryan was celebrating. That's another guy. Daniel Bryan stood right up to him. You know, that brings back their feud that they had last year. He looked right at Mark Henry and was kind of like, you son of a bitch, and just charged at him. Of course, Mark Henry kicked his ass real quick. But, John, what were your thoughts on the return of Big Black Mark Henry?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I popped. When I heard that music, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And it was. He looked dominant. He looked brutal. He looked violent. And you know what? That's what he is. That's what made his world title run so great. And I fully expect him to be added to the chamber. So, you know, Mysterio and Bryan are totally smoked in the chamber with him in there now. So now you're looking at Orton, who's been announced, Henry. I would imagine, too, with the way they're pushing him, probably Swagger.
Swagger!
It's going to be a hard sell to justify eliminating Henry in that match. You know, I don't think they'll pull the trigger and have Henry win, but it is going to be a hard sell getting him out of there.
Yeah, who would be the guy to eliminate him? You know, I would say probably Randy Orton. He's beat him in the past and whatnot. But Mark Henry also dominated Orton. This Elimination Chamber, it's kind of like what we alluded to last week on the show. We were trying to book this ourselves and try to figure it out. I thought they were going to throw the World Heavyweight Championship in there and have it for the strap, you know, with some of the same players involved. But it looks like they're going a different route with two singles matches for each title and then one Elimination Chamber match. But speaking of that, and whether they're going to have another one or not, John, maybe you have the scoop on this. I know John Cena issued the challenge to the Shield for Elimination Chamber after Raw went off the air. It was a WWE.com exclusive. Did they mention whether that match is going to take place inside the chamber
or not?
It's
official. The match itself is official. It's on WWE.com. They haven't announced whether or not it's going to be in the chamber or not.
I don't think it is. It needs to be. That match needs to be in the chamber. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
It would be awesome. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You know, it could be one of those deals like War Games, like we talked about. It's got to be War Games-esque. It's got to have that feel to it. I think that's an easy thing for them to do. It's not even lazy booking. It's smart booking. And that's what they got to do. I feel like it's the right thing to do.
There's an opportunity here, too, for them to set something up for a little down the road. And I think, depending on if you need to do something with Cena in April and you want to put Cena and Ryback in, let's say, a little mini feud, the fact that they'll be in the same ring together in the tag match, you can actually play off some kind of interaction between them. Even if, you know, especially if you want to put the Shield over, you can segue that into, you know, something that maybe the Shield goes over due to a misfire from Cena and Ryback, and there's your post-WrestleMania feud for Cena.
Yeah, there you go. There's many ways they can go with it, and it's another thing that just remains to be seen. I don't buy any of the stuff I've been hearing on the internet, how these dirt sheets claim to know exactly what's going on at WrestleMania this coming year, what's going on after WrestleMania this year. It's all a bunch of bogus bullshit. They don't know what's going to happen. So the only person that knows is who is in that creative booking meeting each and every week that, you know, has all that information presented to them and knows exactly what's going on and stays the course. TLD, anything to add on this?
You know, the one thing I am worried about this is that there's no way they're going to not have John Cena, Sheamus, and, you know, Ryback go over. You know, they're going to put him over. There's no way that the Shield's going to win this match. I can't imagine them winning the match. You know, that would be a complete shocker if that does happen. I think this might be the beginning of the end for them. I really do. I think this is kind of starting that route of them not being as a team anymore. Because honestly, what are they going to do at WrestleMania? You know, I don't know what they could possibly do with them. You know, I think if they put him in the chamber, I could see them winning the match because they have an element to their advantage or, you know, something they could use to their advantage. But in this case, if it's just going to be a six-on-six tag or a six-man tag and nothing and there's no other elements involved, you know, I don't know if they're going to be sticking around much longer as a team.
Yeah, me either. All these guys have great potential to go out on their own as single stars. So I'm going to bring Toph back real quick, and I'm going to ask you the same question. With this confirmed, a six-man tag match, so to speak, at the Elimination Chamber with the Shield against, I guess, Team Babyface of Cena, Ryback,
yes,
and Sheamus, should this match be inside the Elimination Chamber?
Yes, of course. You know, War Games, new, fresh. It can add a spice of freshness to Elimination Chamber. As you guys said, it could plant the seeds of a post-Mania possible miscommunication between Cena and Ryback. You know, should Cena become WWE champion, I definitely think that Ryback should be the first person to challenge him. You know, I'm not necessarily a fan of Ryback, but it was clear that they were behind him. They were pushing him pretty hard in the final portions of 2012, and the fans were into him. And really, at the end of the day, that's my main beef with Cena winning the Rumble was, you know, they were having CM Punk kind of doing what TNA was doing with Bobby Roode, how Bobby Roode was abusing these loopholes to retain his title, and they were constantly having Ryback seem superior to Punk, and they kept having the Shield interfere. It just seemed to me that common sense was leading to Ryback finally beating Punk, and for Cena to win the Rumble, for me, it just kind of undermines everything they did for Ryback. So personally, I don't think Cena needs to be in this match. I think Orton should be in it, simply because the Shield attacked him, and he was out for a month. I think that Orton's just stale, and if I had to choose between Cena and Orton, this is going to be kind of odd, but I would definitely choose Orton still, only because he actually loses more, you know, like how he's tapped out to Del Rio and he lost to Ziggler at Survivor Series. Orton just definitely seems more human between the two of them. If Orton was in this match, I'd feel more comfortable. But now that Cena is in this match, I feel like pretty much what you guys said. Now that Cena's in the match, I feel like we could be seeing the beginning of the end of the Shield. You know, typically speaking, for WWE, a lot of factions last for about 4-5 months tops. And how long would you guys say Nexus was going on before the signs of dissension were showing?
Oh, geez. I'd say it was like a month. I mean,
SummerSlam right there.
It started off so hot, unbelievably hot, and everybody was saying at the time, I remember it, everybody was saying that they were going to screw it up, and of course they did. SummerSlam was a huge step in the wrong direction for the Nexus.
They lost a lot with Daniel Bryan getting fired, though.
Yeah, they lost their go-to guy. They lost the guy that was going to basically carry them at a work rate standpoint and be up there with Wade Barrett in those big main event matches. A lot of those other guys weren't ready, and most of them still aren't ready at this point, you know. So, and maybe even including Ryback. I mean, it remains to be seen what WWE decides to do with him coming up in the next few months, especially going into WrestleMania. Although I gotta say, man, I loved his match last night with Antonio Cesaro. Definitely a hard-hitting contest. I like when these guys really go out there and beat the hell out of each other. You could tell that Cesaro was kind of pushing him, kind of pushing the pace, pushing Ryback a little bit to his limit. So that was really cool. But real quick, I announced this on Facebook, guys. I announced it yesterday, and we've hit a milestone. We've hit over 1,000 likes, which is awesome. I want to thank everybody who's liked our Facebook page. We kind of got the ball rolling on it, and it's going well. You know, my man Toph is going to help me continue to push us in the right direction. We're going to be busting out these memes and everything. So right now is our first ever Facebook milestone sweepstakes for an absolutely positively free wrestling DVD. Yes, that's right. I will send you a DVD myself in the mail. All you need to do is take this password that I'm about to tell you and email it to webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. Webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. I'm going to be taking the submissions over the course of the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks, you have to send this password in. And the password is Sweet and Sour Incorporated. That is the password. Sweet and Sour Inc., one of my favorite stables in wrestling history. Long live Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. He was one of the most underrated talents in the history of the business. It's a shame more people couldn't have got their eyes on the Sweet and Sour man. You know, rest in peace. And he helped make a lot of stars in Ring of Honor, guys that went on to hold the World Championship. So Sweet and Sour Ink is the password. Email it to webmaster at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, and you will be automatically included in this sweepstakes. It's going to be completely random. I'm going to pick an email. I'm going to get in contact with you, get your address, send you a DVD in the mail. You can't beat it. You can't beat free. Even if you listen to us on iTunes, you can still send in the email with the password. Sweet and Sour Ink is the password. So moving right along, I know I brought up a little bit of Ring of Honor type deal, and I want to talk about that because we don't really talk about Ring of Honor. They're kind of falling under the wayside of professional wrestling right now, and they're not hot at all. I don't hear any buzz about the company. I don't hear anything that's going on with Ring of Honor in a positive light aside from Kevin Steen and aside from, you know, WWE apparently wanting to raid their roster. So, John, I'm going to pose this question to you. You know, Sinclair Broadcasting owns Ring of Honor. They have this syndication deal where it goes out to these different markets. It's on about 11:30 at night. I know I don't get it. You probably don't get it. But they always put on these big shows around WrestleMania weekend to kind of create some buzz, create some hype. But I got to say, the future looks kind of bleak. What are your thoughts on the current status of Ring of Honor in general?
You mean WWE Developmental East Coast?
Yeah, exactly. It's almost turning into, and it seems like there's been a lot of comparison since the beginning to ECW because it was basically an offshoot of it, and it's really starting to turn into ECW.
The sad part about Ring of Honor is that they've probably got, and I know I've said this before, the best character next to probably Punk when Punk was in his stride in the business today. Kevin Steen's, you know, wrestling's worst nightmare character was just a thing of genius. It was, you know, it was, excuse me, it was phenomenal. You know, Jay Lethal's got a great character right now. Charlie Haas, the Haas Hole, with his YouTube videos of, you know what pisses Charlie Haas off, are hysterical. The problem is, though, for all that, then you've got Adam Cole and a couple of other people who may or may not be on this radio show next week going to the WWE tryouts in Florida, having meetings with WWE. You know, it looks like sooner or later that roster is going to get hit hard. I mean, you'll probably keep the mainstay guys like the Briscoes. I don't think Steen works in WWE or TNA. You know, it's just, I think in the next 6 months, you're going to see a big influx from that company gone. And I don't know how much longer Sinclair, they don't get it. And, you know, if Sinclair pulls out of this, they're done. They are done.
Yeah, they're literally dead to rights. There's nobody else that could pick up the slack. I mean, Kari Silken, he was the money behind the company forever, for basically since the beginning, after the first couple of years. But since the beginning, he was the money behind it, and he lost money, from what I understand, hand over foot. You know, he was always losing money, but he kept putting it into the product to try to make it better. And I want to urge everybody to go to the old show I used to be on, which is still thriving, the Wrestling Roundtable. Check out their roundtable discussion on Ring of Honor. The host, Eric Santa Maria, good friend of mine, he worked for Ring of Honor, recently got laid off, and he kind of goes in depth on some of the backstage happenings. He answers some awesome questions that the fans had about the company. So check it out, WrestlingRoundtable.com. Go over to YouTube, type in Wrestling Roundtable. It's up there. It's also on our Facebook page. You can go there, check it out. Definitely am supporting that show because that was one of the best Wrestling Roundtables I've seen. And, Will, I don't know if you saw it, but as a Wrestling Roundtable alumnus like I am, Eric, you know, was always talking about how Ring of Honor was kind of, I guess, going to meet their fate some point in time. He kind of saw the writing on the wall for a long time there. What's your take on Ring of Honor and what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's always talked a lot of stories about, you know, that company and, you know, things like that. You know, he was pretty upset with a lot of things that were going on, especially since that Sinclair deal. He always felt that that deal was the killer for him. You know, but I did listen to the Ring of Honor show, actually, and I thought it was very good, very insightful, very good in-depth knowledge about how Ring of Honor was. And me and you both had a couple of days there to see what it was like behind the stage. You know, also doing a little bit of Pro Wrestling Respect, which was a spinoff of Ring of Honor. You know, being involved with that as well. You know, we could see that there's times where you could really enjoy the show, and there are times where you're just not too sure if it was a great experience or not, you know. But then when we're backstage and listening to all the politics involved with wrestling, especially me knowing tons about politics, you know, seeing it, you know, firsthand in a, you know, in the third largest company that the world knows about as far as pro wrestling, didn't look good. And it just didn't feel like you didn't want to be there, you know, other than seeing Maria Kanellis. Other than that, you know, I know. So other than that, you know, it was really hard. But we also got to be part of the experience of the Kevin Steen angle, which I thought was my first, you know, presence of Ring of Honor. And I really loved it, and that really got me involved. But it fizzled away when I was looking at what was going on behind the scenes. And sometimes, you know, as wrestlers, we don't need to know what goes on behind the scenes. You know, it's not important to know what spoilers or what was written. You know, it's what we see is what we see. You know, we can only speculate on things. But when you actually go back there and you see it, you're kind of get another opinion about that company. And that's kind of like what it did for me. You know, it gave me a different opinion about the company that, you know, I would love to give another shot, but I just haven't had that spark or interest just to go do it.
Well, that's the same thing with me. I mean, I've been a Ring of Honor fan for years, since, you know, 2004. And I have so many DVDs. I don't even want to get into it. I'm actually selling some on eBay, cheap plug, selling some DVDs on eBay right now as we speak. But I'm trying to sell them off a little bit at a time because I look at these shows and I'm like, wow, Ring of Honor was really hot back then. You had Bryan Danielson, Nigel McGuinness, before that CM Punk, Samoa Joe. There were just some awesome stars, fantastic matches that will never be duplicated in wrestling. You're not going to see that kind of wrestling in WWE or TNA. You're just not. These guys had the platform, the audience, and I'm going to say the skill to just get it done and the time to do what they had to do to put on amazing matches, you know. And I've always been a fan of the company. You know, Rhett Titus, good buddy of mine, he's a good guy. I don't think he's too happy with Ring of Honor right now. I don't know that for a fact, but when I asked him about it, he didn't seem too happy. Yeah, he didn't seem too happy about what's going on with them right now. And, you know, it's sad. It's kind of like, the buzz isn't there. From a diehard fan like myself, the buzz just is not there.
Oh, well, the buzz is there. That WWE's taking their talent. That's the buzz that Ring of Honor is getting right now. That's the part that, you know, Triple H now being in charge of talent, he's going to go grab that talent. And, you know, again, it's about they're not trying to put Ring of Honor out of business, but the reality is they got to get more stars. Ring of Honor's got plenty of them. They're taking them. And, you know, Ring of Honor is not – being able to kind of handle it, I think. I think they're just like, they expected their guys to stay there, and they're not.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead, chime in.
No, Will. Finish.
I'm done. You can go. Yeah, go, buddy.
Go ahead,
I was going to say, what's a telling tale about where Ring of Honor may be headed was, and I know, you know, some people said, it's just a courtesy, but the fact that not only did they let Punk use some of the matches for the DVD, but the fact that they let Punk into their facility with WWE cameras, that to me told a lot right there about where this could be heading at some point. You know, I know it's been 10, 11 years since Vince bought another company, but I'm telling you, if St. Clair ever decides to get out of this quick, and I don't think that's that far-fetched of an idea, I would not be surprised if Vince and Hunter decide, you know what, it's worth it, let's buy it.
Oh, they'll buy it. They'll definitely buy it, and they'll buy it cheap, too, because it'll be discounted. They'll have all this awesome footage from Bryan Danielson's career, just amazing matches up and down. I can't really express, because everybody was telling me when Bryan Danielson debuted in the WWE that, oh, he didn't have that WWE superstar factor. He didn't have the charisma, couldn't entertain. And I knew what he can do in the ring, just from watching him in Ring of Honor, and I knew what he could do from an entertainment standpoint without a script. So I knew all this, and I told everybody, just wait and see, be patient on this guy is really, really, really effing good, and look what happened. CM Punk, the same thing, everybody was detracting him, and I said it, I'm sure a lot of people did, this guy is better than you think he is, and look what he is now. He's arguably, you know, the top heel in all of professional wrestling, I'd say not even arguably, he is the top heel in all professional wrestling.
Yep.
And I really think it was great that you brought that point up, John, about how they did the CM Punk DVD in the Ring of Honor school. They kind of had CM Punk go there. They showed a lot of clips from his career. Ring of Honor should have really tried to capitalize on that a lot more than just coming out with a CM Punk DVD of their own. You know, they should have really tried to capitalize on that little bit of, you know, actually a lot. That DVD sold a lot of copies. That's a lot of publicity for the company. How many, you know, Fairweather fans or fans of CM Punk that didn't know about his career in Ring of Honor may have, like, turned on YouTube or turned on the TV to check that show out? They really should have taken advantage of it. I'm not sure if they did to the fullest extent.
And, you know, I mean, with WWE, the one thing they do a great job of is these compilation DVDs. So you know eventually they're going to want to do something on Daniel Bryan. And you know what? It'll probably be the same thing like what Punk did. You know, they'll probably let him grab a couple of matches, maybe against Joe, maybe against Nigel, and go back to the school and whatnot. And what's Ring of Honor really going to get out of it? You know, it's just showing that, you know, Vince and Hunter are going to probably just be able to walk right in there one day and say, guess what? You're now our, you know, our Northeast developmental area now.
Exactly.
Besides
exactly.
Florida. I don't mean that as a knock against a lot of the guys that they're only developmental talent capable. I don't mean it like that. But you know what? What's the sit there saying? You reallocate a roster. You know, you bring some guys up, some guys that aren't ready to keep down there. You move some guys from Orlando there. And next thing you know, there you go.
Absolutely. I got one more caller on the line. We'll take this call. We've got a little over 2 minutes left in the show, but 423 area code, you're on the air with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where you're from?
Hey, what's up, Jay? Is it John, your buddy John?
Hey, John.
Calling in.
What's going on, man?
How long do I have?
Go for it.
2 minutes?
We got less than 2 minutes.
Less than 2 minutes for me to rant about wrestling journalists and how awful they are, okay?
Well, hey man.
My issue is, real quick, it's like kind of like what you had on the message board. You can put something out, and if you're right, you look great. If you're wrong about a matchup or something, you can just say, well, Vince changed their mind. And the issue I have with these guys being a journalist myself is none of them are actually journalist reporters. They're basically critics. Like, you don't see Roger Ebert going and reviewing a movie and then going and bringing out something about, the casting of this movie or why these actors don't like each other. They're presenting themselves to be something they're not. And they don't carry themselves like real journalists and real reporters should. Yes, Meltzer has some good sources. He's also lucky he didn't get his ass sued on the whole Mike Goldberg thing. And I just think they give a bad name to both wrestling and journalists as a whole. And there's my rant in the condensed version.
Thanks, John.
Amen.
That, man. Amen.
Amen,
bro. He's hot.
On
that one. Yeah, that's a nice rant to kind of wind down the show tonight. Minute 30 left, PLD, final thoughts on tonight's show.
I thought it was a great show tonight. You know, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the week with Oh You Didn't Know and Spoilers. You know, two good shows that we have. Definitely check out our iTunes. You know, we're always downloading new shows. Listen to myself every single day because that's what everybody should be doing, is listening to my voice every single day in your car or on live on blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, and go to TLDWrestling.com too. JCD.
You absolutely should do it. And BrooklynWar.com.
JCD, any final thoughts, man?
Great show tonight. You know, me and Seth got our show tomorrow night. Follow me on Twitter, JCD1219NY. And I got one last thing to say. I've been waiting to say it all night because it was on my mind just a tad last night. But I just got one thing in closing. My debut album.
Oh, good Lord. I'm so sick of that commercial. All right, guys. Thanks so much for being on the phone. Topher, thanks for calling in, brother. We appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who called in and listened tonight live. One more time, that password for your free DVD. It's a sweepstakes, folks. It is completely random. Your password is Sweet and Sour Incorporated. Email it to webmaster at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. For TLD, JCD, Topher, this is Jersey Strong Day. Keep it real. Jersey Strong J, excuse me. Keep it real, everybody. Have yourself an absolutely fantastic night.